The December 2011 edition of the American Journal of Bioethics contains a special trending section on personalities and politics in bioethics. Wesley Smith is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism and a special consultant for the Center for Bioethics and Culture. Dr. Smith chose to write about William Hurlbut in an article entitled Building a Bridge Over Troubled Stem Cell Waters. Dr. Smith joins us now from California. Why did you choose to write about Dr. Hurlbut?
Well, Bill was a friend of mine, as I disclosed in that article. And I think that he really has created a unique niche in terms of the continuing debates and controversies over the embryonic stem cell issue. I think he really is, as the title suggests, a bridge that seeks to create a healing, if you will, between the science aspect of this discussion and what some would call the ethics aspect of this discussion.
Dr. Hurlbut recognized early the impact that bioethics could have, and I'm quoting from the article here, "I hope to help us define the target before we shot the arrow." His work has done much to accomplish that goal, hasn't it?
It sure seems that way to me. He's really been indefatigable in trying to make sure that nobody is considered the enemy, if you will, using the enemy in quotes. You know, it's very easy for us who get involved in these very, perhaps emotional and intense discussions to forget that everybody, or just about everybody anyway, in these fields have the best interests of people at heart, and that they're all seeking to do what they believe to be the right thing. And what Bill has done, I think, is really focus on making sure that he has that people know that he respects both sides of this debate. He'll call them as he sees them, of course, but he doesn't engage in the kind of ad hominem sometimes demagoguery that we sometimes see.
Well, that's one thing that I thought was interesting, that he was and is willing to recognize the good intentions on both sides of the debate, and he's one of the very few people who are willing to do that, right?
Well, I think that's very important. I know that I've been engaged in this debate, and I certainly feel that both sides have good intentions, but there have been people who might be considered on my, quote, side of the debate who might deny that, who seem to think that all that some people think about are, you know, tearing apart nascent human lives. And then there are, I think, some people on the pro side who've said things, oh, well, these religious fanatics just want to impose their theology on society. Neither one of those extremes is true, of course.
You note in your article that Dr. Hurlbut might have stayed at Stanford forever if not for Leon Cass in the Bioethics Commission under President Bush. Considering what ensued after his appointment, did you ever get a sense with him that he may have regretted entering that arena? That's not an easy place to be.
Bill, regret? No. No, not in the least. I think Bill thrived in that milieu. Now, I understand, because I saw it, as his friend, that sometimes he was under a great deal of pressure. But he, I believe, thinks that he was in the place he was supposed to be at that time. He certainly enjoyed the work with the commission. He didn't always enjoy some of the brickbats that were thrown his way, but I don't think he would have given up on that for anything. Of course, he is still at Stanford, but obviously what we mean is that he received a higher level of notoriety than being a very popular Stanford teacher.
You note in your article how Dr. Hurlbut, while taking a strong stand on embryonic stem cell research, was still torn between the ethics and the therapeutic potential of this research. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, what Bill wanted and wants to do is find ways that can breach the ethical divide that exists and still obtain all of the hoped-for benefits that could come from pluripotent stem cells. He certainly hopes that ways can be found, and in fact with the induced pluripotent stem cells seem to be beginning to be found, to, let's say, have our cake and eat it too. That is, to be able to fully develop pluripotent stem cell potentialities without the comity tearing aspect of doing so at the expense of embryo destruction, particularly with regard to, I think, federal funding. So he really does believe that middle way can be found. That's what his altered nuclear transfer project was and remains about. That's currently in research with primate models. And I think he hopes that it will, that further avenues will develop in the future. For example, direct reprogramming where a skin cell might, say, be turned directly into a heart cell without having to go through that pluripotent stem cell stage.
Well, as part of his work and after his work with the commission, he proposed and promoted the concept called altered nuclear transfer, and he saw that as that bridge between science and ethics, right?
Yeah, he certainly thought that that could be a potential bridge. I mean, he certainly believed that it had to be investigated. He never thought that was the only bridge, the only potential bridge. He is open to any kind of scientific research that can create the comedy of not involving the destruction of nascent life with full development of pluripotent stem cells potential.
You know, I'm trying to envision him, Dr. Smith, sitting in these commission meetings and observing all of the contentiousness that resulted from all of the debate on stem cell research, and him sitting there thinking there must be a better way of being able to bypass the ethical conflict. That had to be a very hard time for him to see how difficult it was becoming in the public arena.
You know, I talked to him quite a bit. As I said, we're very good friends, and he was anguished about the contentiousness that he was seeing. He didn't like it. He certainly didn't want to add to it. He hoped that what he was trying to do could be embraced by both sides of that debate, and some of it was and some of it wasn't, as with any public situation. Some of the people he thought were his friends kind of proved to be very critical, and people he thought might not be his friends on this issue proved to be not so critical. But he really does believe that the best science is a science, particularly in the public sphere, that can be performed without contentiousness, without division. And that is what I think he saw as his overriding purpose when he was on the commission. You know, I saw how hard he worked that. I remember I first got to know him pretty well when we were both speaking in South Africa at a bioethics conference. And when he wasn't doing the official work of the conference, he was poring over the work he was doing for the council. And he even brought, he and his wife Erica, they went on safari afterwards, as I did too. I went to a park after being in Cape Town to see the animals. And he took his work, you know, into the middle of the African nowhere. That was how dedicated he was to trying to do his due diligence and contribute as a member of the President's Council on Bioethics.
Well, we now have the gift of hindsight to show that in many ways Dr. Hurlbut was correct, that there are ways of going about stem cell research without destroying embryos. There's some research that's going in that direction anyway. Do you sense that Dr. Hurlbut feels any vindication because of that?
I don't know if he would put it that way, but he certainly seems, in the sense that, you know, it's a personal thing. He does believe that the events that have unfolded demonstrated that there really is a potential to heal this divide. And he hopes that, strongly, I believe, that these new alternative methods, as they are sometimes called, will pan out, and that the idea that you're either for stem cell research or you're for ethics can be eliminated, because clearly it's not true. One is not anti-science because one opposes embryonic stem cell research or federal funding of embryonic stem cell research, nor is one anti-ethics because one supports it. And we have to, I think, get past that, and that's certainly what he hopes that can happen, and I think he believes that it is beginning to happen at the very least.
Finally, Dr. Smith, how should Dr. Hurlbut serve as a model for other people like yourself, bioethicists? How should he serve as a model, past, present, and future?
I think one of the things that the bill presents is the ability to present issues from a very knowledgeable place, meaning he really had his facts down, without demonizing people with whom he disagrees. I think that both sides in this debate could learn from that model. Bill always, at least almost always, maintained his cool. In essence, he turned the other cheek quite a bit when he was harshly criticized. And I think all of us who are in, let's say, a public intellectual, if to use a term, endeavor, can serve our society better by maintaining the kind of equanimity that I think Bill demonstrated in his work on the council and his work outside the council, because most of what we're talking about with regard to the promotion of altered nuclear transfer and other alternative methods, his traveling peripatetically around the world, literally dealing with these issues, was on his own advocacy, was not on behalf of the council. And so I think another thing that Bill shows is that when somebody is really dedicated and committed, that one individual can make a difference in a very contentious debate.
The article is entitled William B. Hurlbut, Building a Bridge Over Troubled Stem Cell Waters. The author is Wesley Smith, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism and a Special Consultant to the Center for Bioethics and Culture. It can be found in the December 2011 issue of the American Journal of Bioethics. For more information, visit bioethics.net. That's bioethics.net. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.